Well, Paul, a whole lot of us are looking with great puzzlement at our leadership in the Capitol. What's happening?
Well, there is a lot of puzzlement, Bob. Quite frankly, it boils down to a very simple equation. The Republicans ran on a platform of reforming government, living within our means, and spending less in November. And we won the governor's office, and we took majority control of the House, and we closed the gap to the Senate, where it is very narrowly divided. Quite frankly, the Democrats want to spend more than we're taking in, and the Republicans say we're going to live within our means. And that's the battle. They want to spend more. We say we can't afford to spend more.
I hear different things from different sides. I hear that we've got real budget problems from the Republicans, and I hear that we have a surplus from the Democrats. How's a person that's out here, how are we supposed to understand where the truth lies?
Well, it is very confusing, but the reality of the situation is that for the past several years, for the past 4 years, we have spent one-time money on ongoing projects. And this year, we are only going to spend what we are taking in. We do have a temporary emergency fund and a cash reserve fund, which is used for cash flow. In other words, to pay our bills on time, we have to have money to pay it with. And so there is a correct, when people say we do have a savings account, yes, we have a savings account. But when you do a five-year analysis, which is what the governor and the administrative services folks are looking at, if we assume we will grow 4% in our economy every year and our revenues in order to take care of the problems that were created over the past 4 years, we cannot spend more than we're spending or we'll be in big trouble. We are spending about what we are taking in. And the savings account, we've got to keep for paying cash, paying checks, being able to pay our bills, and also for emergency uses. But that money over a five-year period is it's going to be very tight.
That 4% per year seems a little optimistic, isn't it?
Well, it appears optimistic to me, and I ask that question, particularly given the financial situation we're in today. But they say the nonpartisan administrative folks believe we'll see a 4% growth per year, which even heightens the need to be more frugal at this point because a lot of people think we're going into a double-dip recession. I was reading reports today where some of the major financial folks in the country believe we're going to see a recession worse than we saw, a financial crisis worse than we saw in 2008. So the last thing we want to do is spend more money than we know we're going to have down the road, or that this money's burning a hole in their pocket, quite frankly, and they want to spend it. But boy, we've got to be fiscally prudent now, if ever, because nationwide, governments at every level are spending more than they're taking in, and we're in pretty serious trouble as a country. And Iowa's better than a lot of them, but we've got serious issues.
Now, what's the big deal about this two-year budget? Why push that now? Why is that so important to the governor? Why make that such a big issue when there are other issues that seem to be more important, at least to me?
Well, the two-year budget, the governor used to have a two-year budget. I'm pretty much agnostic on it. People in my caucus are for it. I have people who are against it and people who say, well, it really isn't that big a deal. As an executive who wants to be able to plan, it's much better to plan 2 years out than it is just 1 year because of you can adjust. And you can hold spending down. You're just better able to budget. The compromise that has been arrived at, I think, should please everybody because what the governor is or what the agreed upon plan with the governor is that 2012, the fiscal year 2012, begins this July. July 1, 2011 starts the 2012 fiscal year. We have a budget that is 100% of what we're going to take in and what we're going to spend. for the second year, which begins July 1, 2012, that's the 2013 budget year, they have said we'll compromise and we will budget only at 85% of what we did in 2012, meaning the budget committees will still come in, do what they need to do, and it's really essentially you come in and the legislature does everything they did previously. The governor also says a second-year budget, if fully implemented, would allow the legislative appropriations committees, those committees that spend the money, to come in and do oversight, to go back and see, did the money get spent the way we wanted it to? Did we accomplish what we wanted to? Heaven knows we need more oversight in this government than we do spending. So if that's accomplished, that's a good thing. But there is a compromise. It's at 85% spending level for that second year, except in those areas, Medicaid, school aid, corrections, those things we know we've got to spend, we're obligated to spend it. Those are at 100%.
Okay, and the Democrats are happy with that?
I don't know if they are, but they very much should be. I don't think they were protesting that much in the first place about the second-year budget. This essentially gives them addresses all of the issues that they raised previously about the second-year budgeting.
Tell us about the omnibus bill. That's caused some problems. And
well, the 517-page omnibus bill.
I thought you guys were against big, long bills showing everything.
Here's where we go. Here's what happened. Negotiations broke down. The Senate Democrats walked away from the table 2 weeks ago, said we're not going to negotiate. Contrary to what they may say in the press, they said we're not going to negotiate. At the same time, they would not come up with a proposal. They wouldn't tell us what they wanted. Just we know they wanted to spend more. They kept saying this wasn't enough. So what the House did was to put all of the bills that have been discussed all year into one bill to send it to the Senate to get this thing off dead center. There's nothing new in that omnibus bill or very, very little new. It's been discussed and debated all year long. So there's nothing new in there. Everybody's seen it. Everybody knows what's in there. It's just packaged as one bill rather than 20 or 15 separate ones.
But from what I've read and what I've seen, some of the things that are in that bill could kill it because they were things that weren't going to pass otherwise.
Well, there is a bargaining position. There's no doubt about that. That bill just was passed yesterday, incidentally. There will be controversial issues in there. I suspect when it comes to the Senate, some of those will be stripped down.
Okay.
The Democrats, I would say.
So that's something that can be tinkered with. It's not anything that will be it's pass or fail.
This was designed to get the Democrats back to the table so we don't have a shutdown. They appear to be orchestrating a shutdown, and that's the last thing we want to do is have a shutdown. There's absolutely no reason for it. But we made concessions. We gave them several things that they were interested in. Look, here's the way the Republicans negotiated. We said we have a hard line in the sand. We're not going to spend more than $5.99 billion. That's what we can afford to spend this year. You guys tell us what you want. We'll work with you. We'll compromise with you. Where do you want to spend that? You help set priorities. I think we've been more than fair in doing that, and they haven't come up with anything.
Well, now, the Democrats would say that the Republicans are wanting to push us into a shutdown. They've said that.
Well, the Republicans are the only ones with any offers on the table. It takes two to negotiate. We can't negotiate against ourselves. We have, in good faith, put out legislation. We've asked them to come up with something. We've just not seen it. So,
and they haven't put anything on the table.
No, they've not come up with anything.
Now, about this potential shutdown, Governor Branstad and all the Republicans that I know ran on transparency, but the governor is telling his department heads not to tell anybody what their plans are for the shutdown. How is that transparency?
Well, I don't know what has been said or hasn't been said, but I can understand why you would not want emergency plans broadcast so that let's see where we get on this thing. I think the main thing is we want to keep government going and operating. There's absolutely no reason whatsoever to shut down. We have the Democrats wanted to spend more early on. We gave $150 million more than was originally the House wanted to give. That's been months ago. So there's really not that many dollars apart on things. And I think they're trying to orchestrate a shutdown like happened in the federal government in 1996. When Newt Gingrich was tagged by Bill Clinton as shutting down government. They're sending all the signals. That's what they want to do. I think they believe they will get political gain by doing that. But it's very cynical, it's very destructive, and it need not happen.
Newt Gingrich said he wanted to shut down government.
But the executive got to choose what part of government was shut down. And as many times happens, it was firemen first. You know, there is a lot of government that could shut down and nobody would know it is shut down. But if you're for more spending and you're in the position to decide what gets shut down and what doesn't, you shut down those things that people want most. And I don't think Governor Branstad would do that.
Well, why isn't he telling us what he would do? I'm not asking about emergency plans. I'm asking, are we going to have troopers on the ground, as many? I'm asking, are our parks going to be open? Are other services going to be available? And why not share that?
He has said that troopers will be on the road. The corrections will be there. He has not gotten into—and frankly, I haven't really sat down and gone into great detail with him because I didn't think there was anything that would be gained by that. I am comfortable that public safety would be observed. He has broad powers to do that, and he would exercise that judiciously.
And he has said that.
Yeah, what he said.
Good. Yeah. Now, how about our parks? I mean, it's summer, and people are concerned about that, and there are other kinds of issues. A lot of us may not even know exactly how far the powers of the state government go, and things that we're used to. If they go away, it'd be nice to be planning for that.
I think it would be a horrid mistake for the Democrats to try and run this over the 4th of July weekend and shut parks down to make a point. I think that would be absolutely irresponsible, and I don't think it'll get to that point. If it does, it's a major mistake on the part of Mike Gronstahl and the Democrats.
And do you think that the Iowa public is going to see that as the Democrats cause that?
I think Mike Gronstahl is banking, if he does this, that they won't see that, and it'll be so confused they'll blame the Republicans. But make no mistake about it, it is the Democrats who are not negotiating in this.
But how is the average person supposed to know who's telling them the truth?
That is the age-old problem. And as I had a discussion with one of my colleagues on the way up, and how do we strategize? What do we do to try and move this ball forward? And the backdrop of all of this is anything we do or say, regardless of how we do it, how we say it, gets filtered through the press. And the press filtering creates that public perception of what's happening. That has not always, as we both know, not here. I think you guys do a great job. But in Des Moines, it is not always accurate. As often as not, they will not report something that is relevant. They will not put in context. And so that's really a very problematic thing. How do we do the right thing? Say it in a way that we can convey it to the public so they understand and it doesn't get filtered so that it is completely off base and meaningless. And unfortunately, a lot of that happens. I think the main points are Republicans want to spend only $5.99 billion. That's what we've said. We have said we will work with the Democrats. We want to compromise. We want to negotiate. We just want you to come to the table. Let's work this problem out. There's no reason to shut this government down. There's absolutely none. And they have not done that. If there is a shutdown, it will be because they have not sat down with us in good faith and negotiated and compromised.
So mainly, are you pointing your finger at the print media?
No, I'm not. I'm pointing my finger at Mike Gronstahl and the Senate Democrats. I think it isn't that anybody is to blame, but for example, on Monday, we can say in the legislature, we can stand on the floor and say thousands of things that would be relevant if somebody was really interested in learning in depth about a particular piece of legislation or a bill. It only gets reported one sentence or two sentences at a time. I know I have been called by reporters and asked, this was been in the print media, I won't name names, I've been asked to comment on a particular thing. I know the story was written beforehand, and so the story was written, and you give a quote, and they will pull out of context what that quote has been. Frankly, I've been treated very, very well by the press, but you just don't get the true texture of what's going on by only reading the newspaper.
Well, it's one of the reasons we're here. I can't put words into your mouth.
That's right, and I appreciate that. You've been very, very fair.
So do you think that we're heading for a government shutdown?
You know, I was asked that the other day. And I was accused of giving a political answer. I was saying that if Mike Gronstahl wants a shutdown, he'll have a shutdown. I don't believe we are. I think it is too important to everybody. I hope that common sense takes over. I hope that the welfare of the state takes over, and we can all sit down and get this thing worked out. It is still playing out. In talking with old-timers around the Capitol, they say, we've never seen anything like this. I believe it's a function of, again, we were elected in November to hold the line on spending. We're doing that. Mike Gronstahl and the Senate Democrats have been in control for a number of years, and they don't like not being in control and doing exactly what they want. So a lot of this has to do nothing with policy. It's a matter of posturing and political advantage. And so I think that's coloring this entire thing. But I hope the public speaks up and lets everybody know, hey, let's get this done. But in order to get it done, the Democrats are going to have to come forward with, here's your bill, we don't like this, but we would go for this. Or we don't like that, we will compromise here. We've been very, very willing to work with them. As a matter of fact, on the bills, in this omnibus bill, there are things in there that the Democrats had requested that the Republicans didn't want. For example, preschool was continued just the way it has been. The waiting has been reduced because much of the startup cost in preschool has already been incurred, so it doesn't cost as much to educate these kids now. So the amount of money per kid has been reduced, but I've heard no complaints in that, and people say that it's reasonable with what the actual costs are. The earned income tax credits, the Democrats had wanted to increase that, and so that was increased. There are things in the budget that 2% allowable growth for education in the second year was put in. So there have been an awfully lot of things the Democrats have hinted about being problem areas that have been put into this bill. And so I hope that will solve a lot of the questions that they had. I mean, those are compromised positions.
So can I say you're optimistic?
Cautiously optimistic.